The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of On to the Next One. Yes, we are back following the final pay-per-view event, the final 2023 event for the Ultimate Fighting Championship, UFC 296, which started off real strong, kind of ended in a whimper, but it ended with the two world champions that headed into the card as world champions and ended with both those fighters coming out as world champions. And we're here to discuss the fallout of UFC 296 from a matchmaking perspective. I am Mike Heck, and joining me, as always, on this Sunday morning, the Prince of Positivity, the co-host, the co-matchmaker, and my best friend, Mr. Alexander Kaylee. AK, how are we doing?
We're doing good.
Sunday morning, yes.
We're doing great. That was overall a really good card. I think you nailed your assessment of how it played out, my best friend. I think it did start, it looked like we were headed towards like an all-timer. I gave it a really high pre-event gymnastics score. I said there's like a 9.8 on the degree of difficulty. The two title fights didn't really deliver. Well, the main event, obviously, I don't think we need to say anything about the actual action. If you're a Leon Edwards fan, you probably loved it. You're having a great time, or you hate Colby. But objectively, the fight itself wasn't super great. It was light on action, I think it's fair to say. And the co-main, I think, was really good from a competitive and technical standpoint. It won't, you know, it's not going to go down as one of the fights of the year, but I really enjoyed the co-main events. But yeah, we didn't get one of those, like a classic moments in the main or co-main. And I think that might dim the event in some people's eyes. But I think when they look at it top to bottom, they'll actually look like this was not a top three card of the year, you know, didn't quite live up to that billing, but it was good. It's in the upper half of the 13 pay-per-views. How many did they do a year? Did they do two in a month this year?
They did 14, did they not?
14.
Because they had two in March and two in July.
I think of the 14 pay-per-views, it's in the top half. I think it's in the top. I'd say it's top seven. I have to look back at the whole list again when we start doing our year-end recaps and that sort of business. But I think it's in the upper half. It was a good card.
Yeah. I mean, I think just the expectations are almost impossible to reach for this card, if we're being honest. Between the prelims, we had Irene Aldana versus Carol Hosa, a fight of the year contender. And then Jacoby and Menefield was fun. Like, two of the fights we didn't think were going to be super duper fun ended up delivering. We get one of the most frightening and terrifying knockouts in UFC history to kick off the main card. And then things just kind of went downhill a little bit. But we'll discuss all of that and more. We'll talk about what's next for the title contenders, the title participants, the main card winners. We'll have some wild card picks. We'll go for like 45, 50 minutes here before I have to check out of the hotel here in New York City. But what we'll do is we'll go through each fight. If you guys have suggestions for who we're discussing, chuck them in the chat. We'll pull them up on the screen. And then at the very end, we'll take 10 or so minutes, maybe 15, and we'll just take the leash off. You guys can run around virtually and submit your matchmaking suggestions, and we'll get after it from that perspective. So let's get into it, AK. Leon Edwards, still the welterweight champion following UFC 296. As I said on the post-fight show, this sort of reminded me, not exactly the same, of the Israel Adesanya versus Jared Cannon air fight from UFC 276, where I think Leon was preparing for something, maybe Colby to sort of back up all the trash talk, and then Colby just ended up handing him the win on a silver platter by just giving him the exact fight he needs to just easily win, and that's what happened here. Leon just took what he was given, cruised to a decision, kind of took round five off, but didn't really matter. He knew Colby had nothing for him. And now things are real interesting here. The build to this, a lot of people are saying Bilal Muhammad likely would not get a title shot coming out of this, especially if Colby won. And if Leon won, still maybe 50-50. And then Leon goes to the press conference and just kind of no-sells everybody, had nothing in plan. And Jed kind of joked about it on the post-fight show. The UFC's graphic of Leon Edwards with the belt was, let's see what's next. Just the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Scintillating
stuff. So what is next? Is Bilal Muhammad going to get his day in court, or do you think they're going to go a different direction?
Yeah. Bilal Muhammad should be next. Come on. Bilal should be next. It's not like my number one choice. We will talk about our number one choice. And I think a lot of people's number one choice after Saturday night, later in the show. But just based on sort of the longer history of some of these fighters, I have to lean towards Bilal. I should have put him in the poll. I just threw up a little Polar Rooney, Mike, before we started talking. Who was the biggest winner of UFC 296? Leon Edwards, Pantoja, Shavkat, or Paddy Pimblett? I don't think I left anyone off. I mean, Josh Emmett, we can talk about him later too. But I guess I should have mentioned Bilal. Bilal could have been put on the list, arguably over Pantoja, who like was great, but I don't know if gained a lot from that win. But I don't know how many votes Bilal would get. I would hope a lot, because I think Leon's win should clear a pretty clear path. I think Bilal's done almost everything he can do other than be really good on the mic, not a strength of either him or Leon Edwards. I really wish Leon had called for him. It would have made this pick so much neater. As it is, there is certainly doubt as to who could be next. Imagine if the Ian Machado-Gary Luque fight had gone through and Gary had just first round KO'd Vicente Luque. He'd be in the mix. He probably might have jumped ahead of Bilal. So Bilal actually is fortunate that fight didn't take place. So I'm going with him. This is also an easy follow-up. I think after Bilal's last fight, I said I want to see him face the winner of this matchup. I'm going to stick to that. People can say what they want about, the first fight was like what we saw in the first fight, the round and a bit was enough, that we know Leon's better. I don't know. It was a while ago. I think Bilal's better since then. Leon's probably better since then. You might have to throw it on if you're the UFC and you're worrying about moving pay-per-view sales. You might have to throw it on there with another fight. I get it. Or just bite the bullet and have it headline a card that, you know, you don't necessarily expect it to do blockbuster numbers. And that's okay too. Either way, I think it's the way to go. I know fans aren't, banging the doors to see this happen, but Bilal's done it. He's earned enough. He weighed in as the backup. That's a guarantee, Mike.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just do the mathematics. It's 100%. Anyone who backs up gets a title shot, right? Mm-hmm. Especially in 2023.
It's the law.
Obviously, we're being sarcastic.
It's the law, Mike.
It's on the rules and guidelines, the athlete protocol guidelines that the UFC adheres to so much. So we also talked about this in the post-fight show. The biggest winner of UFC 296 is actually winners, and it's two guys who didn't even fight on the card. Actually, they kind of did, depending on how you look at it. It's Sean Strickland, Dricus du Plessis. They're the biggest winners of UFC 296, and it's crazy to say for a skirmish in the crowd where Sean Strickland had to politely ask Gilbert Burns' children to move out of the way as he jumped over a row of chairs to go start punching DDP in the crowd. But that is the biggest story coming out of this event. So those two guys are obviously the biggest winners. I mean, probably Sean Strickland in particular, because he's going to make a whole bunch more money when he fights DDP in Toronto. That pay-per-view is going to do much better. Yeah, I think Bilal's going to get his day in court. I think every domino that Bilal needed to fall, fell. All of them. Every single thing he needed to happen, happened. And the other thing is, Dana White talked about it. Leon talked about it at the post-fight press conference. It seems like the UFC is going to go to Manchester, maybe the first half or early second half of 2024. You just throw Leon on that card. It does not matter who he fights at all. Just throw him in there. He's going to be treated like a star. Probably the only place he's going to be treated like a star. You put Tommy Aspinall in the co-main event against whoever to defend the interim title. There you go. So I do think Bilal's going to get his day in court because in that juncture, it doesn't matter. Now, the one thing that could hurt Bilal is if the UFC needs Leon to fight sooner. If they say all their UFC 300 plans fall apart and they're just like, man, Leon, we need you to fight. If Bilal ain't ready, they're just going to go with the next guy. But I kind of feel like after this fight and just this performance overall, like it was a clear win for Leon, and Colby deserves much more of the blame, in my opinion, than Leon does. This wasn't the most aesthetically pleasing fight. The second Kamaru Usman fight was a good win, but not aesthetically pleasing. And let's be honest, the first Usman fight was not good until the head kick heard around the world. So I think Bilal will get his shot, and availability is going to be Bilal's best friend here. Now, probably the more interesting question, AK, is where does Colby Covington go? Because I want to be perfectly clear, this was a bad performance. This was one of the worst performances from a challenger I've seen in a long time that I can remember. This was really, really bad. And all week I kept saying, we are going to know in the first 7 minutes what this fight is going to look like. Either we're going to feel like, ooh, Colby's going to be real competitive here, he might win, or we're going to be like, nope, he's done. He has no chance of winning. And that is what happened here. Colby just didn't do anything. I'm curious if he was hurt. I talked about that on the watch party, if he was hiding some kind of an injury, but it doesn't matter. He was bad. He was very, very bad. But the one thing Colby did well, in my opinion, AK, was what he did when he had a microphone in his face. And I'm not talking about what he said in the octagon. The second he showed up to the press conference, he was asked a question and immediately called out Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, which one fits right in with the gimmick. Two, it gives him the biggest prize fighty fight possible where he gets the bigger name with the lowest risk, in my opinion. And he did more in the first 2 minutes of his post-fight press conference than Leon Edwards did in 30 minutes of his. And that goes to show you, even after a terrible performance, I think he's going to get what he wants. I think he will get the Wonder Boy fight. I think the UFC will give it to him. And I'm kind of intrigued by it, which also makes, it's crazy to say, it makes me think that Wonder Boy is still in play as a freaking title contender, because if he goes in there and rinses Colby, he's probably getting a title shot, which is crazy. So maybe Wonder Boy was the biggest winner of the state, even though he lost, because he's probably going to get Colby next. It's crazy. I'm going with the Wonder Boy fight. I would like to see Shafkat get his opportunity, but I don't think that fight's going to happen. So I do think they will go with Colby versus Wonder Boy. That could headline an on the road fight night card. You could throw that anywhere on a pay-per-view main card, and it's going to get a lot of attention. And Colby's going to try to say unkind things to Wonder Boy, and Wonder Boy's just going to kind of shrug it off and disarm Colby. So yeah, I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, it was a great call out. It's one he's made before. Again, he's if there's one thing Colby does, is that he lays the seeds for a lot of feuds. He lays the seeds for a lot of potential fights. Even Leon, though there wasn't like the most amount of heat between them before fight week when it just ramped up to an insane level. He invented the stupid Leon Scott thing all those years ago, which, believe it or not, some people actually find funny and still repeat. And that was just a throwaway line from a long, long, long time ago. So he's unlike a lot of fighters. You'll see a lot of fighters say that they really don't keep up with the rankings. They actually don't keep up with, like, they're focused on training. They're focused on their own career. They're not watching every card. They're not, like, scrutinizing all their potential matchups. Then there's guys like Colby, Ian Machado Gary, Mel Chiesa, back when he was calling people out and doing a really good job of getting those fights, like, who have a plan. You know, they have a plan. Win or lose, they have a plan. So Colby had a plan, an exit strategy, if you will, and it was to call out Wonder Boy, and it's logical. That's a pretty easy crystal ball pick. I would be surprised if the UFC wasn't immediately, you know, not signing it this week, but probably after the show, talking to both guys and saying, yeah, this is, do you want to fight Wonder Boy? We'll talk about it. Wonder Boy, would you want to fight Colby? We'll talk about it. It does make sense for where they are at this stage in their careers. And Wonder Boy would have to see that as a winnable fight, because he loses when he gets out grappled for sure. But Colby's a little bit older. He certainly didn't show off much of his wrestling on Saturday against a guy who has much better takedown defense than Wonder Boy, but it just wasn't great. And regarding an injury, I personally thought he must have had some injury going in, but That doesn't matter. Once you step into that cage.
Oh, 100%.
There's no excuses. 100%. There's no excuses.
Yeah, we're not making excuses.
For Colby, not at all.
He had, even I said it on the watch party, and I know I wasn't alone in this. He had the aesthetics and at least the look of somebody who's trying to disguise an injury,
yes,
like a knee injury. He did. The stand switching, all of that, that is unlike Colby. Was it planting very well when he was throwing strikes? And again, it doesn't matter.
No.
And honestly, even if Colby was 120% healthy, I still think that fight probably goes very similar to the way that it did yesterday. But he had the aesthetics of watching the fight. I was just like, man, Colby looks like he's trying to hide something and trying not to, he's trying to keep a poker face. But like, I'm completely with you. It doesn't matter. No excuse for Colby. Yep. He went out there and got run over. He got dominated. Not run over, but he got dominated. He's not competitive at all.
And he didn't even hint at anything, by the way. Post-fight interview, nothing. He was very arrogant. He downplayed Edwards' performance. He was like, he said a lot of stupid things after the fight, but did not say anything like, oh, by the way, also I was injured. I don't think at any point did he allude to an injury. So we got to take it at face value. He was probably as close to healthy, 100% healthy, as you can get in the fight game, which is to say not that close. Everyone goes in, I feel like, 80% health at best. But yeah, as far as we know, no notable injury. Just Leon's the better fighter, and Colby had nothing for him. So another thing I want to point out, someone had a comment. Oh, it was good. Oh, what is Colby going to be ranked after that performance? I'll tell you right now, he's not in my overall MMA top 15. If I'm doing just UFC, I think he still cracks it.
You're not ranking him at all?
He won't be, because I think my number 15 is like Magomed Karamov, I think, for PFL, right? PFL's welterweight champion, I think. And I would pick him over Covington 9 times out of 10 right now in the UFC. So I have Covington behind Neil Magny and Jack Della Maddalena and Ian Machado Guerra. So I won't put him over. Just if he had put on a better performance, and I spoke to this with Jed before the show, before UFC 26, I was very easily going to rank him probably above both those guys, Ian Machado, Gary, Jack Della Maddalena, just because I think you can't erase those past accomplishments entirely. And also, I still think he'd be a decent matchup for either of them. But that performance was so bad, I just can't in good conscience rank him. I don't know what you're planning to do. I think the UFC will put him back in the top 15.
I'm gonna rank him. I think I looked at it last night a little bit. I'm going to take my time today and go through the rankings since I don't have to fly out of here for a while, but he's probably going to be in the top 10, but like the back half, he'll probably be like above. I would rank him above Wonder Boy.
Okay.
Cause I think like Colby should win that fight. It wouldn't surprise me if Wonder Boy, especially after what he showed in a lot of that fight against Shafkat, really good takedown defense. And he hit Shafkat a bunch of times. So I'm not saying Wonderboy couldn't win, but you'd have to think Colby's like a minus 180 favorite in that fight. You know what I mean? So it ain't gonna be a great ranking, but maybe he's number 10. He's probably in the top 10 at this point, but he's hanging on by a thread.
I'll tell you.
I'll
wait to see if he gets the Wonderboy fight. If he gets the Wonderboy fight and he wins, happy throw Colby back in there. As it is, he's got to earn that ranking back. I've been pretty consistent with this. People know I didn't rank Henry Cejudo either, and he had a much, much better performance against Aljamain Sterling in their title fight. Some would argue he even won that fight, and I still didn't rank Henry. His inactivity was even longer than Colby's, and his resume and that weight class is frankly not as good as Colby. I know people knock Colby's resume, but he has a better list of wins at 135. So, I'm sorry, 170 than Henry Cejudo has at 135. So if you come back from a long layoff, you just gotta win. You gotta win, and I'll put you in, man. Or at least put on a better performance than what Colby did. Because yeah, he could have got a top 10 ranking with a loss. And I just can't in good conscience do it. I know if there's people in the comments, I'm crazy. I understand. Regarding matchmaking, I honestly don't care. I don't ever want to see this guy fight again. His personality does nothing for me. His post-fight press conference was just embarrassing. And if they cut him, I honestly wouldn't shed a tear. I know there's still interesting fights ahead of him. I know Wonderboy makes a lot of sense. If you're Wonderboy, you should be campaigning to make that fight happen.
100%.
But otherwise, throw him to Michael Morales. I don't care, Mike. That's my pick, all right? I originally wanted Michael Morales to fight the Brown-Salikov winner. That fight didn't happen on this card. So technically, I still want Michael to get someone who participated in the show. May that be Colby Covington. Let's see. Let's just throw him to some blue chipper, see what happens. And Michael Morales smokes him. Hilarious. If he beats Michael Morales, back in the top 10, back in I guess Colby Covington still got something left. So I'm happy to roll the dice there and see what happens too.
Boy, I mean, if Colby, I'll tell you what, Wonderboy is probably gonna get that fight. And if Ian Garry can beat Jeff Neal, he's probably fighting one of those two guys next. So like Ian Garry versus Colby would be pretty interesting too. The build would probably be really, really awful, but we'll go from there. So yeah, Colby probably get the Wonderboy fight. Just no sell Shavkat, which I thought was even funnier. It just, everything about it was just a weird Saturday night for one Colby Covington, which is crazy to say.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down, and new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Let's move on to the easiest matchmaking of the card. Alexander Pantoja defeats Brandon Royval, unanimous decision. He looked real good in the fight. Was this the all-out sprint for 25 minutes that a lot of people were predicting, or for less than 25 minutes? No, but it's still a very fun fight. Royval made things interesting even in round five, but Pantoja, just a gritty, wily veteran. The man looks like he gasses in round two, taking big, deep breaths. And then when you think, oh man, he's getting tired, he lands a takedown and dominates a round. So this is super simple. There is a big fight coming up, five rounds, Mexico City, Amir Albazi versus Brandon Moreno. Winner of that fight gets the next title shot. It's pretty simple.
Yep, no friends forever here. You could make an argument that Albazi, the run he's on, had already done enough to earn a title shot. Some have said he's more worthy of a title shot than Brandon Royval. So the fact that he has to go to Moreno, I mean, it's fair game. He needs to get one more fight. He doesn't have the kind of name where they could just throw him into a title shot waiting. If he beats Moreno, clear number one contender. Moreno beats him, we got a rematch of what I think was the best fight of 2023. So UFC Mexico City, February 24th. Fingers crossed, nothing happens this fight. I think that's going to be a good one in its own right. And then either way, we get an awesome matchup next. So, yep, easy pick.
What about Brandon Royval, AK? Where does he go from here?
Brandon, I was a little disappointed in his performance. I'm not sure what more he could have done. Pantoja's grappling is so good. Pantoja is frigging nails. Like when Royval was just kind of finally putting it on him in round five and just like smacking him with clean shots. I get that it's round five, they probably weren't knockout blows, but like we saw this in the Moreno fight too. We had that Pantoja has this weird kind of late round malaise to him, But you know he's not like really, he's not actually gassed. He's not actually, he just slows down. He slows down in rounds 4 and 5. Now, maybe he needs to stop that. I don't think it looks great with the judges, but didn't matter on Saturday. 50-45s across the board. So his grappling was more than enough to win on the scorecards. But for Roy Val, I hope he gets to fight his way to another title shot. He's not old. You know, there's always a chance he gets a chance, another shot at Pantoja. Or if Pantoja loses the belt, Roy Val can sneak into, fight a different challenger. Sorry, different champion, excuse me. But he's only going to get tough fights. It's actually one of the toughest divisions in the UFC right now because it's not deep, and anyone in the top 25 is like a killer. There's only, I think, maybe like 30, 35 flyweights. So there's like 10 that you might say they're new, quote unquote, easier wins. But Roy Val is going to have to fight someone tough, someone coming for a spot. I think it's a guy who won on Saturday. I think maybe he ends up having to face Taguir Ulanbekov, who had a great performance against Cody Durden. And then we reevaluate Roy Val's contender prospects from there.
Interesting selection. And I love you, but you're wrong. It's incorrect. There's only one answer to this question. I've already seen a bunch of people comment on it. I understand that this person already has a fight booked, and that's totally okay. It happens to be on the first fight card of 2024. Manel Kopp is fighting Mateus Nicolau in a rematch, and I don't give a shit what the result is. The next fight that is going to be made following January 13th is Manel Kopp versus Brandon Roybal. That is the next fight. Manel is not getting a title shot because he's going to have to wait anyways, because they're going to do the Albazi Moreno winner more likely than unlikely. And now you give us Brandon Roybal versus Manel Kopp. I want this fight so bad. Yes. I want this fight so bad. And I think we're going to get it either way, no matter what happens. Roybal versus Kopp next. 5 rounds, UFC Apex. Give it to me.
That was my first instinct, was to give him Kopp win, lose, or draw. I think I didn't want to risk derailing Kopp if he beats Nicolau, if he gets the revenge against Nicolau. I think I didn't want to risk Kopp losing a shot. But you're right. That's a senseless way to think in this division. You really can't protect anybody. You can't wait for people. You really can't wait or pick fights in the UFC's flyweight division. You really just have to go. So I think you're right. I do hope, I need to see Roy Val and Kopp fight at some point, whether there's a title shot on the line or not. So I went with like a safe, like conservative choice. But I do hope we see Roy Val and Kopp sometime in 2024.
Flyweight's so fun. Like, I'd love to see Roy Val versus Moreno again. I would love to see Kopp versus Moreno. I mean, God, man, Kopp versus Kaikar France. This is just so much.
At some point, Tyra's going to have to step up and get one of these guys, right? Tyra's going to be in the mix. I know. I love how they're building him up. If they want to give him, again, you know, lower half of the division guys for his next couple of fights, I wouldn't cry about it. But by the end of 2024, I'd love to see Tyra fighting someone with a number next to her name. No rush, but I can't.
Give him Tim Elliott. Perfect. Already talked about this. We did. That's the fight. Sure. So, yeah, Roybal, the fun will continue on. Let's go to Shavkat Rakhmonov, beats Wonderboy Thompson, just did what he usually does, 18-0, 18 finishes. Dude's just got a presence to him. He's got an aura to him. Dude just gets it done. A lot of people feel like he could get a title shot and it works. Colby no-sold him. Leon pretty much no-sold him. I think he might have to fight again. Where are we going here? This is probably the toughest one for me because you could go a number of different ways with this. Where did you ultimately land on here for Shavkat?
First of all, I think when our rankings come out, our fully updated division rankings, global rankings, I should say, come out later this week. I have a feeling Shavkat is going to be Jed Meshew's number one welterweight. I don't know. I'm sorry. I didn't watch the post-fight show. I don't know if
he said it. That's why I asked that question, because I knew he was going to do that. He was going to rank Shavkat as the best fighter in the best welterweight in the world.
This is not a surprise. I think did he have him number one? But he had him as high as like number two, I think. I think number two. He's had Shavkat as high as number two. He might be number two right now. But by the time he updates, probably number one. He had warned us of this before the card because he was, I think, either he expected neither guy to like necessarily have a runaway victory. Certainly, he wasn't going to put Colby number one unless Colby flat out just dominated Leon. I think that's the only way he might have put Colby number one. But he's kind of like me. You got to, inactivity has to mean something, right? So Shavkat will be number one on one of our esteemed panel's ballots. And I don't blame them because I think, personally, I think he might be the best welterweight in the world. I'll pick him over everyone who I have ahead of him. Leon Edwards, I have number one, of course. Kamaru, I still have at welterweight. I just don't know how long, if he's coming back at middleweight again. So whether you have, if you have Kamaru there, he's ahead of him. Otherwise, Kamaru's not in the division, so it doesn't matter. And then I would have Shavkat over Bilal. So that's it. That's all the guys who I have ahead of him. And I've picked Shavkat to beat any of them. I think he's that good. I think he's the real deal. I know people are like, well, he had moments in the Jeff Neal fight where he was in trouble. He won that fight with this vicious choke of Jeff Neal. I think that Jeff Neal fight is going to become like his Khabib, Michael Johnson, Khamzat Gilbert fight, where people are like, oh, they didn't dominate like I expected to, so they were exposed. It's like, well, they still got the win. They still got the win. Khabib's probably the most dominant of that. I mean, he was in trouble for like half a second and then just obliterated Michael Johnson. But either way, there's always these fights in hype guys' runs where it's like, oh, they hit a wall. Like, maybe they're not as good as we thought. And I'm like, guys, sometimes they just face good fighters. Jeff Neal's a good fighter. And I think Shavkat's there. He's overcome adversity. He didn't fall for the trap of trying to really outstrike Wonder Boy. You know, he did his thing, closed the distance, took him down, got the choke. Just fantastic domination. So if I could wave a magic wand, I probably would give him the title fight over Bilal, but I think Bilal deserves it. So I landed, Mike, on Sean Brady. And I want to hear your pick first before I kind of break down why this happened. This was just math. This was just who's available. And like, I didn't really have any other better options. I'm not sure where you're going with it.
Like, if I had my druthers, I would give him Usman. That would be the one.
Yeah.
Because it appears like Whitaker's going to fight Paul Costa.
Right. We lost our dream Usman Whitaker match.
So, but I also don't know if like that's a fight Usman wants right now. No. You know what I mean? Because even if he wins, I don't know if it gets him a title. I mean, maybe he gets him a title fight if Bilal wins the belt, but I don't know. I just, it'd be good. I think if Shavkat's smart, he just does nothing. It just waits. Because I think, honestly, as soon as Leon Bilal ends, he's just next. So he could just chill out and wait. Or he could just take another stay busy fight. So maybe he's the backup fighter and just gets the winner. I don't know. Do you just take another fight just to stay busy? I guess. I thought about the Brady one. That's not a bad one. I don't know. Maybe do like the Kevin Holland MVP winner just for name value. Try to get one of those guys over. I don't know. But although I think Shavkat runs over both of those dudes. So, yeah. I mean, I'll go friends forever with you, but he's the guy. Like, he's there. He doesn't have to do anything else.
He shouldn't have to.
He doesn't have to do anything else. But I don't know. This was the toughest one. So maybe he wants to stay busy. Give him Sean Brady. Maybe that's the main event of the Atlantic City card. Mm. That's not a bad one. It's like right outside of Philly. So do that. Why don't we just do Sean Brady versus Shavkat? That could be the main event. Go do that, I guess. I don't know.
This is one of the reasons why I always say belts are props. And often, unfortunately, once you get to this level, props that actually get in the way of making fights. Because in a world without belts, where they just paid fighters properly, regardless of whether they're champions or not. If the compensation was just, and frankly, it was way higher than, you know, whatever, we won't harp on this. We wouldn't be saying like, oh, well, he has to wait for this. People would just be fighting. Like, we would just have guys fighting. You'd just be fighting the best. You're getting paid a crap ton of money. And you wouldn't care if you want to be, I mean, at some point you want to be ranked number one. I get it. Fighters care about belts. It's a sense of validation. I understand. But the fact that like Shavkat knows the next logical thing for him is a belt means like, you're right, he might just have to wait. And that means Leon fights Bilal first. And then who knows what happens. Hopefully he's healthy enough that he can defend again in late summer or third quarter. But it's, I just want to see Shavkat fight as much as possible. I find him so entertaining. I love watching Shavkat fight. But business-wise, because we care about belts so much and because the UFC puts so much financial weight on having a belt, now Shavkat can't fight. He can't fight because it's just not worth it for him. And that is so infuriating. This guy should be getting paid, whatever, $2 million to fight Joe Blow off the street. I don't care. But that's the nature of combat sports. This isn't just the UFC, by the way. This is all combat sports in general. It's just a real, real problem in the UFC because they're obviously number one in MMA. But and anyone who's just like, why Sean Brady? Why kill off another guy who's, you know, very likely one or two fights away from a title shot? There's just really no choice. We said already some of the other guys ahead of him in the rankings, ahead of Shavkat, who are just, they have their own things going on. They might not fight him. Gilbert Burns, we know people not mentioning the announcements late last night. Gilbert Burns is going to fight JDM. That rumored fight is happening. Ian Machado Gary got rebooked. He's getting the Jeff Neal fight that he was supposed to get a while ago. That's it. I mean, Luque is an option, I guess, but I don't know. Did you think about Luque?
For Shavkat?
For Shavkat.
No.
No, I don't want to see
that. I don't think they're going to do it. So, no. Big Rocker Johnson, I think, actually nailed it. I think they're going to do Brady Luque as the main event of
there you go. Yeah, could be.
Because they're not doing Ian Gary versus Luque anymore. Now they're doing Gary back to Jeff Neal from Miami. Yep. So.
So you're probably right, my best friend. It's probably wait. We probably just don't see Shavkat fight again for like 8 months, which sucks. But that probably is it. If I have to pick a name, I'll say they throw Sean Brady at him, especially if Sean Brady wants to stay busy as well. But it's probably waiting. Sorry, guys. I might not see Shavkat for a while.
Dude, he just waited 9 months after standing bulldog choking Jeff Neal in March. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of guys lining up to fight him, honestly. So, yeah, I think he's going to end up waiting and getting the winner of Edwards versus Bilal. Let's go to Paddy Pimblett, defeats Tony Ferguson. I don't even know what to really think about this because Tony did, outside of round one, he didn't take a ton of damage in this fight. Paddy gets a win, gets the return fight, wins the bout. Tony didn't get clobbered, but lost. But it's also one of those things where he had moments and now he's like, yeah, man, now I'm really going to get it. Like now I'm due, everybody. Let's do one more. And you kind of didn't want that. So it was a pretty bad scenario here, all things around for people who don't want to see Tony Ferguson fight again. But Paddy Pimblett, undefeated in the UFC, is 7 wins in a row. It's definitely the biggest green mark on the wiki page. UFC is going to give him a step up. They're going to give him a ranked guy. They're going to give him a known guy. And they're going to give him a guy that he will, at worst, be competitive with, yet a guy he could possibly beat. But he could also possibly lose, and it's not the worst thing in the world. So you have to be very meticulous how you matchmake Paddy. They ain't throwing Paddy Pimblett in there with Benoit Saint-Denis. I can tell you that right now. They're not going to throw Paddy Pimblett in there with Jalen Turner because he's going to get absolutely run in both of those fights. So here's what they're going to do. We're going to get Paddy Pimblett versus Dan Hooker next. That's my fight. They could do Beneil Dariush, possibly. Try to build upon that. But I think Paddy versus Dan Hooker, when Dan's ready to come back, maybe they do a UFC 300, who knows? That's what I think they're going to end up doing. Give him a name, a possible winnable fight, testing Paddy's dog and grit, because that Dan Hooker does that with everybody. So, yeah, I'll go with Dan Hooker versus Paddy.
So Dan was my first choice. I rolled it out because he did whatever. He's got these arm injuries that persist. He said the first time he didn't let it heal properly. I think this time he has to. So I think he said he maybe would want to be ready for 300, but I have a feeling if he's smart and responsible, again, talking about MMA fighter here, he might not fight till the summer, but who knows?
Could be fine. If they go to Manchester, he still do that fight.
He probably would want to be on 300. Paddy himself said he probably won't fight at 300. His wife is expecting to deliver around that time. So he's like, it's unlikely. So he's going to kind of focus obviously on the birth of his first child and taking care, you know, just being a dad for a bit. And then yes, Manchester, I think makes a lot more sense. So I like it. I think there's a chance Paddy fights sooner. I don't know. I know the Manchester card makes more sense, but I think he wants to keep the good times rolling. He did miss a lot of time since the Jared Gordon fight. Mike, I don't know if you know about this. I kind of predicted the Tony Ferguson Paddy Pimblett fight. Did you hear about this?
Yes, it's because of you.
People in the comments, did you hear about this? I wanted this fight before. I don't think I've mentioned it before. I really want to see that fight happen. And it did. And Father Time, undefeated. I'll say this thing. By the way, we didn't say this enough for Colby, too. Colby is 35 years old. Thank you, Jay, in the comments for reminding us that over however, what, 5-6 years, fighters 35 and under competing in welterweight and lower title fights, 2-31 now. 2-31. Those two wins were Tyron Woodley. It's tough. It's tough when you get to those lighter weight classes. And I think 33-year-old Colby does a much better job against, I guess it would have been 30-year-old Leon if it happened a couple years ago. I really do. So take style matchup what you want. At some point, you're losing the ability to pull that trigger. And I think we saw a little bit of that with Colby. Again, not making excuses. He gets in there. He's responsible for everything that happens in there. And I think we're seeing that with Tony Ferguson. There's no question. These are fights and moments that he could have worked his way out of when he was younger. But I'm not a doctor, guys. When you get 30, when you're 39, you're almost 40. You're less explosive. You know, you might still have cardio. You might still be tough. You might still have skill. You might, you know what you want to do. Guess what? The body doesn't respond. So, good win for Patty. Tony, he's going to come back. And I think whatever his next fight is, it's going to look similar. I think all his fights are going to be similar until he decides to hang out, until the UFC lets him go. Flashes of his former brilliance and an inevitable loss. So I know that's a bummer. Mike, I've got another bold Patty Pimblett prediction. There's a young man out there who's been waiting for a big fight, and he deserves it because he's a company man. He's an exciting fighter. He's got a number next to his name. He's got all kinds of accolades in his career. He's just chasing big money fights at this point. And the one that he's been chasing, the one that he should get, but it's just been so long, and the fight that he's chasing is, the opponent that he's chasing is so unreliable, I think he may have to give it up. This man I'm talking about, Mike, you may have heard of him. He coached a little show called The Ultimate Fighter recently.
Oh, my God.
And this man should be fighting Conor McGregor. He's done everything the UFC has asked of him to get this Conor McGregor fight. And it's still in play. We think Conor will be back sometime after UFC 300. We don't think that he'll be apparently, it's very likely he's not fighting on that card. And I know the man I'm talking about, Michael Chandler, is willing to wait for Conor McGregor. But if he wants a guy who's, you know, got like a fraction of that McGregor popularity, but kind of produces some of the same polarizing opinions, and who he has a very good chance of knocking his block straight off, Mike, I think they're going to give Michael Chandler a little McGregor consolation prize here. And they're going to give him Patty the Batty.
How is this a consolation prize?
Because, again, Patty is not McGregor, but he is a guy who has been compared to McGregor a lot just because they're both from Europe and they both talk a lot and they both, I don't know, starred in Cage Warriors. I mean, Patty, yeah, I think Patty had a more notable run there, but well, I shouldn't say that. Conor was a two-division champion. We never forget. So it's a sellable fight. Pimblett Ferguson was one of the most talked about fights on this card. And we're talking about a guy, Pimblett, who's not even, I haven't ranked 22 after beating Tony Ferguson, and that's where he was before. He didn't move up, by the way. I had him 22 going into Saturday, and he's still just 22, and he's on a five-fight win streak in the UFC, seven-fight win streak overall. I honestly would have called for the Chandler fight, but he's also smart and probably knows Chandler will beat his ass, so maybe that was good not to do that. But I think the UFC might consider it. I got that same feeling I had when I suggested Fergie and Patty. You don't seem as nauseous about this suggestion.
I'm not mad. I'm disappointed.
Okay.
This does nothing for Michael Chandler. I mean, absolutely nothing. Hey, imagine like you're at the mall and you fill out a piece of paper, like win this Lamborghini over here. And then they call you and say, hey, AK, you won this Lamborghini. We're going to drop the car off at your house. And then you get like an 89 Ford Escort dropped in your driveway. Like that's what this is. You're expecting a Lamborghini and then you get a car. It'll take you from one place to the next. But it's not a Lamborghini. Why would he get no, AK, no.
The man has to fight. No. I know the man has made a good amount of money. I think Michael Chandler has made enough money that he never needs to fight again. He seems like a guy who's pretty secure, has made good financial decisions, and like, but it's still nice to have money. It's still nice to get paid. And right now he's just sitting in the sidelines, not getting fine. I know he's doing fine.
He owns like 18 businesses.
Fine. He could be doing more fine. And let me tell you something. You know what? Let me sweeten the pot for you. Mike. I don't know if you heard, there's another season of The Ultimate Fighter coming up. And the coaches have not been announced yet. So Michael Chandler, come back. Become the first fighter to coach back-to-back seasons of The Ultimate Fighter. Get Patty in there. Just run it back. We all watched Tough 31. I think it had averaged, what, like 45 million viewers a week, I think, just in U.S. alone. I'm not crazy. The numbers were massive. Everyone in the comments watched every episode. You guys know what I'm talking about. You love The Ultimate Fighter. So we know, and I think it was all because of Chandler, let's be honest. McGregor, yeah, maybe drawing a few eyeballs. I think Chandler was a real ratings draw there. Get Chandler back in there. Make him like the Jeff Probst of The Ultimate Fighter. Let's keep it going and put Patty in there. Does that make it make it a little more palatable for you, my best friend.
If you if the UFC came to Michael Chandler and said, "Look, man, Conor's retiring. I'll let you write down 10 names, and I guarantee you we'll give you one of them." He's not writing Paddy's name down. Guarantee it. That's
I think he would. No, think he would. He would.
No, he wouldn't. He would write down. He would get. They would give him a title shot. They would give him a touch shot. I love this. Colby running down Leon's resume and called Ricky Waters. Yeah, do Chandler versus Ricky Waters. I mean, I would rather see Chandler versus Ricky Waters than Chandler versus Paddy right now. I'm not saying Paddy couldn't get that fight, but boy, that's not a consolation prize. That's a punishment in some respects for Chandler.
We need to replay your first reaction to my Tony Paddy suggestion all those months ago, Mike. I think it's very similar. I think it's a very similar word.
No, you could just like it was heartless on your part to suggest that and put this out into the universe, and that is the reason this fight happened.
It is.
But at least you could make a case to justify it in some way. This is not justifiable at all.
Listen, people in the comments, I see people in the comments blasting it too. Y'all were like that when I first suggested Paddy and Tony. Let's just remember this moment. It might take a while. I don't know how long it's gonna take for this fight to happen. But I'm just saying.
I'm going to be fucking livid if they make this fight.
You might have to leave the show. I think you might have to leave the show for like a couple of episodes.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I'll find a guest.
Jeez.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special 3-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G Podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's move on. To Josh Emmett.
If we can.
One of the scariest knockouts I've ever seen from Josh Emmett, just obliterates Bryce Mitchell. It was just really scary. And Emmett still got that thunder, man, 38 years old. I'm not trying to like breeze through this, but we do have a hard out at around 11 a.m. here Eastern time. Josh Emmett versus Edson Barboza. Give it to me. I'm ready. Just that's the fight. Give it to me.
Do we have time for the song? Do you have time for the song? We're back on the same page.
Wait a minute. Didn't you have like a out of left field suggestion for Edson Barboza? One that you can't go back from, really?
That was a good one. I stand by it.
Ilya Topuria. Didn't you say Ilya Topuria?
Yeah, I stand by it. That's a great matchup.
Yeah, you can't. You kind of have to give it up. So is Edson the backup fighter now?
Well, that fight's not that fight. I remember that matchup got booked, Ilya Topuria and Volkanovski. So Topuria's off the table now. Barbosa is free. He's a free man for auto picking purposes. So this is the way to go.
One, two, three. Friends. Yeah, dude.
They were booked to fight a while ago. And let's fix the timeline. Let's get Barbosa and Emin in there. Boy, that was a nasty knockout.
Glory. Yeah. Glad Bryce is okay.
He seems to be okay. Yes. Good spirits as always.
Yeah, why Bryce is walking out of the cage after that is beyond me. Just the whole handling of all that was just terrible. But it is what it is. Time for the wild card round. These chairs. Here I go. Slowly sinking down. Yep. Wild card suggestion. We're going to match make somebody we've not match made for, and we'll do so right now. Lots to choose from. I think there's low-hanging fruit here. It's super easy. I'm not going with this. I think the low-hanging fruit is Cody Garbrandt versus Davison Figueiredo, especially after finding out that Song Yadong is fighting Petr Yan. That's the low-hanging fruit. I did not go there, AK. Did you go there?
I didn't. And I don't know what I would have done with Cody, because I think after Figgy won his bantamweight debut, I'm really into the Figgy-Petr Yan matchup, but I have no problem with Figgy-Cody either. as Cody said on the mic when he did the call out, supposed to happen on pay-per-view some time ago. I know we're all kind of fearing for Cody's life with every fight. We all think that Davison Figueiredo will just starch him, but hey, Cody looked good against Brian Kelleher. He looked okay against Trevin Jones, you know? So whatever, if he loses, he loses. He wants big fights in his career. That's about the biggest one he can get right now. So no problem with that call out. But no, I went with Ariane Lipsky. 3-fight win streak, all in 2023. I think she might be a sleeper to crack the top five of fighter of the year voting. A lot of people had great years, by the way. A lot of people had great years in the UFC at the highest levels of MMA this year. But Lipsky kind of sneaking under the radar, picking up a very good win over a woman who was once entrenched in our top 15 at 125 pounds, Casey O'Neill. So the queen of violence in great form. Give her Tracy Cortez whenever Tracy Cortez is ready to compete again. I think it's a great matchup. Both women, again, are on win streaks. And you're getting a sneaky contender out of that one.
I thought about Tracy Cortez for Ariane Lipsky, and I ultimately went with Ariane Lipsky versus Michael Chandler because he's going to need to fight somebody after Conor McGregor.
That's the way to go. Chandler.
No, I'm just kidding.
Right, but he's behind Patty in the pecking order. Just for record, on your list of 10 people, Patty's ahead of Ariane Lipsky.
Okay, we have just made history. We have just made history for the first time.
No,
in the history of this program. A friends forever moment in the wild card suggestion. What? I picked the same exact fight.
Cue it up again.
I picked the same exact
fight. Cue it up again.
We need like the Saturday Night Live band to play behind us, the friends forever fit. This has never happened. It took 3 years, but for the first time ever, we have a synced wild card selection. It is Ariane Lipsky versus Tracy Cortez. To me, the low-key MVP of UFC 296 is Ariane Lipsky. She looked incredible. She Casey O'Neill'd Casey O'Neill. That she beat the hell out of her. That was very, very impressive. So yeah, give her Tracy Cortez. Big fight. Lipsky's getting it all together. And she just looked so much bigger and stronger in there with Casey too. Great performance. I hope she gets some shine in the fallout of all this. I feel like with all the other storylines, she's going to be kind of under the radar, perhaps a little bit buried on top of the chaos. But yeah, man, I love that fight. Maybe due to Mexico City. She's ready to turn around quick. Throw down the Mexico City card. February 23rd. I like it.
Yep. It's a way to go. Matchmakers. I'm sure the matchmakers are on top of this. They know what they're doing. Mike, before I move on, I'll just say I'll end this poll. Who is the biggest winner? Almost a near tie between Leon Edwards and Shavkat. Leon Edwards, 42%. Shavkat, 44%. So both welterweight, both top welterweights had a big night. Just Rachmanov with a slight edge. Maybe the slight stock bump higher than anyone else in the card.
Yes. All right. We are going to let our hair down. Everybody but me, I guess. Get after it. Time to just chuck in your matchmaking suggestions. We're going to pull them up as many as we can. We got about 10 minutes, and that's what we're going to do. So throw them in. What do we got? But keep it to this card. I know some people, when we do this, they just throw out rando fights that have nothing to do with the card we're talking about. So here we go. Casey O'Neill, Marina Morose, rebook Carol Hosa versus Julia Avila, Shamil Gatziev versus Junior Tafa, Andre Feely versus Billy Q. I like the Andre Feely versus Billy Q fight.
Man, we didn't talk about Shamil Gatziev at all. Stopping the hellacious undefeated run of Martin Budai. God.
Incredible. I saw a lot of this. Colby versus Kevin Gastelum. Any interest in this?
I had a friend suggest that to me. Like, again, I'm more of the I don't need to see Colby fight ever again, but if he must, that would make some sense.
Diego Lopez versus Andre Feely.
Andre Feely, another guy. Good for him. So happy for Andre Feely. God, they really made a good point on the broadcast. Credit to Rogan and Cormier and them and John Anik that, like, we have watched Andre Feely grow up in front of our eyes. He was like 23, 24 years old when he debuted 10 years ago in the UFC. So he's been facing tough guys nonstop. It was nice to see him get a finish, first finish in a while.
Yeah. I mean, look, both those Diego Lopez suggestions. Very easy to book because all those people are all managed by the same guy. So it'll be easy. Patty versus Elvis Brenner. You like that idea? I don't think they'll do it, but.
I mean, Elvis does not have a rumored fight or anything. I'm not crazy, right?
I don't think so.
We've been doing some matchmaking for him. He is the wild card in the lightweight division because on any given night, this guy can apparently beat anybody. So I could see it. I could see it because he has enough reputation. But name-wise, it's a step back from Tony. Competition-wise, it's a step up. So I don't have a problem with it.
Tony Ferguson versus Terrence McKinney.
Why, Michael Harris? Why would you do this, Tony Ferguson?
Don't like it. Don't like it.
What's the fight that's going to convince Tony to retire, Mike? Does it have to be a 3-round beatdown where he makes it to the scorecards?
Dude, give me what I've been asking for like the last 3 Tony fights. UFC 300, double retirement fight, Tony Ferguson versus Joe Lozon. That's the one.
Yeah.
That's it.
Feels like we should get it.
Yeah. Either Tony's going to go out with a win or Joe is going to cream him in 45 seconds because that's how Joe fights. He just gets in and gets out of there. So that's what we're going to get.
If Tony wins, though, he won't retire.
Then what do you just lay him to slaughter then at this point?
I don't know.
You give him Benoit, then give him Benoit Saint Denis, AK.
I don't know. I like Tony, man. It's funny. I think because people think I made the Patty Tony matchup that like I hate Tony. I love Tony. Tony's one of my favorite fighters of this generation. And it's just, I honestly can't figure out how to convince him to get him out the door. And maybe no one should. I get it. It's up to him. It's his life. It's his decision. But
what's a good matchup for Garbrandt? I like the Figueiredo fight. Yeah, now that Piotr Jan is fighting Song Yadong, do Figgy versus Cody. I like that one. If they went Figgy Jan, Garbrandt Cruz 2 would have been my pick.
I still want to see it. I think Cruz just got kicked out of our MMA fighting global ranking. So Cruz, if you're out there, you want that sweet, sweet global ranking spot back, please get a fight.
Patty versus Moicano if he fights Dober.
If he beats Dober.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Patty, yeah, that's good. Good logical matchup. Winnable fight for Patty. Winnable fight for Moicano.
Tony versus Clay Guida.
How's that never been booked?
But that's a fight Tony can win. You know what I mean? Like,
that's a fight Clay Guida can win as well.
Yes. No, I know. It's so hard to book him, man. It really is.
I'm going to. They were never booked, eh? That's so random.
Menafield versus Anthony Smith.
Yeah, I kind of think
that makes sense.
Great win for Menafield, by the way. Very tough, very, very tough matchup with Dustin Jacoby. And if they fought, you know, if you ran it back 10 times, maybe they split it 5-5. But on this day, man, that power of Menafield, it's a difference maker. You can be getting outstruck for 4 out of 5 minutes in a round, but you land one of those bombs, which you did rounds 2 and 3. It's a great performance. Yeah, I should have some idea for him.
Menafield versus Roundtree if Cleo loses his next fight. Cody versus Barcelos, sure. Patty versus Bobby Green. I saw a lot of Patty versus Bobby Green. I don't mind if they make that fight. Mm-hmm. Menafield versus Spann, Emmett versus Barbo. Menafield Spann is actually kind of interesting because Menafield was a Fortis MMA guy, and now he's a Pat Barry guy. We could build something up there. Emmett versus Barboza, Feely versus Bruce Leroy.
Wow, and that's never happened? There's a lot of guys. There's a lot of veteran guys in this card who, if you told me Tony Ferguson had fought Clay Guida or Andrew Feely had fought Alex Caceres, I would have like reached down into my false memory bank and been like, yeah, I remember that fight. Like, boy, it's a lot of great matchups out there.
Could do Patty versus Frivola.
That was probably my first choice before I had my stroke of genius and pulled out Chandler instead.
Let's see. Jared Covington money fight versus Poirier at 300. Royval Perez, Makhachev winner, Shafkat, and winner of Edwards Muhammad 2, Patty versus Bobby Green, Emmett versus Alan Evloev. Winner or loser? I don't know. Garbrandt versus Adrian Yanez. I don't think they're going to give Adrian that fight.
Did Covington even mention Poirier?
No. He did not.
He was lobbing a lot of attacks out there this week. I don't recall him mentioning Poirier, which is he has before. I mean, there's a history between them.
I mean, he could just get that Wonderboy fight real quick too, because Colby didn't take it. I mean, unless he really did have an injury coming in. Wonderboy lost, but he didn't take a ton of damage in that fight. So usually Wonderboy, if he has a great performance, he usually busts his hands up and he's out for a hot minute, but yeah. I don't think he's going to have to worry about it this time. So
do you think they would ask them to wait for UFC 300? Do you think that's maybe something? Because we really don't know what they're going to be able to pump that card up with. It feels like Colby and Wonderboy could fit on the main card there somewhere. Again, even though I said I don't want to see him fight again, I know there's an audience for that.
Tony versus Lozon double retirement fight. Yep. A lot of Tony versus McKinney. I don't like that. I don't really like that at all. Patty versus Chase Hooper. Tony versus Chase Hooper would actually be kind of interesting.
That seems like the next logical step down for Tony. Young Chase Hooper certainly looking like a good fighter, but hasn't really beaten a great name yet. I think that could be what's next for Tony Ferguson. I think it's very logical. Yeah.
Aldana versus, I mean, this is a lot of crystal ball in here. Aldana versus the Pennington Pena winner. Already just counting MBS out there, huh?
Pena winner. What?
Wow.
How do I got to block that? How dare you? How dare you assume that Bruno Silva is not going to win on at in January?
I mean, if you just want to lock up fight of the year for 2024, look no further.
Oh, please.
Then Paco Porter versus Chris Barnett. I mean, come on now. Come on now. What else we got? Aldana versus Vieira 2, Patty versus Emmett. But I mean,
Emmett come up to 155.
There's a story there. There's a story there.
There is. It's not crazy.
Aldana versus Pena, Tony versus Guida.
Blue Raider said, I forgot Pennington was fighting Silva. How dare you? That's worse. Blue Raider, that's worse. You should have just let us think that you were doing like a prediction, a prediction of a prediction. That is the real main event of UFC 297. How dare you? Women's
Wait, you didn't watch a seasonal press conference with Raquel Pennington and oh yeah, that's right. They weren't there, which is super weird.
You know why? Because the fight sells itself, Mike. The fight sells itself. You didn't need them there. Everyone's talking about it. Everywhere I go, I go visit my parents. They're like, oh my God, is it true? My mom's like, is it true? Mayor Bueno Silva's fighting Raquel Pennington in Toronto. Are you gonna be there? Can you get tickets? And I'm like, Ma, leave me alone. Everybody wants tickets. Tickets to fight.
Passes the mom test.
Yeah. Leave me alone.
Menafield, Ozdemir, Holloway versus Emmett. I see a lot of people doing BKFC Tony Ferguson matchmaking. I don't even want to put that out into the universe.
It's gonna happen. We're super sad.
Mitchell versus Giga.
How has no one mentioned? I can't believe I'm about to. I should have been grateful.
I like this fight.
Alonzo versus Azamat Mirzakhanov.
I like it.
How has no one mentioned like Colby versus Dylan Danis or some bullshit like that?
Because
people are smart. Okay.
We're trying to be positive here.
They're not dumb. They're not dumb like me. Okay, good.
Michael Venom Page, he is booked to fight Kevin Holland in Miami in March. I like it.
It's perfect. Matchmakers, you nailed it.
Perfect.
You friggin' nailed it. Yeah. Win or lose for him. It's because Kevin Holland, I feel like, is someone they're still invested into. I don't know if they see him as like a world title challenger, but I feel like he's one of those guys who could like just randomly fall bass ackwards into a title fight with the right matchups, you know? So
Kevin Holland is the welterweight division's Derek Lewis. Rankings don't matter.
Yeah.
None of it matters. People just want to see him fight. And he could fall ass backwards into a title fight and no one would be mad at it. Like that's just who Kevin is. So, all right. We're done. I got to get out of here. I got to pack up the rest of my stuff and check out of here. So matchmaking has been super fun this year with UAK. So here's what things are going to look like moving forward. I don't know how we're going to do this, but we will probably do some sort of like top five fights we need to see in 2024 show at some point. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have our predictions extravaganza two-parter. The first half will be an audio-only program where we recap. We'll go back and listen to the 2023 show, and we recap how we did. We compare and contrast, just feel like how wrong we were with the chaos of 2023 in some of those selections. And then part two will be a live show. We'll probably do what we did last year on the YouTube channel, where we just take your buy-sell questions, the best 20 to 25 buy-or-sell questions. We put them on the screen, we give our predictions, and then we try to predict who will be champion at the end of the next year. So one of my favorite shows that we do. So if you guys have suggestions, the same way you submit your matchmaking suggestions, your buy or sell questions, send them the same way you submit your matchmaking. And if it's good enough, we'll throw it up on the program. We'll discuss. It'll be part of the 2024 prediction show, but make them good. Let's think outside of the box a little bit. Let's have some fun.
Hit us up, guys. Hit us up on the social medias. I'm at Alexander K. Lee on Twitter, at Alexander KK Lee on Instagram, and alex.lee@espionation.com on email. Mike, how can they get you on IG again?
Mike M_HeckJR. There you go.
Yeah, guys, reply to us on Twitter or slide into the DMs, whatever method you need to contact us. Send those buy sell questions. Those championship predictions. Mike, I was so close. It was almost the year of the Raw Dog.
Oh, that would have been
incredible. We all believed.
That would have been incredible. But you guys are the best. Love doing this show. It's going to be weird not matchmaking for the next month, but that's where we're at right now. We will matchmake again January 14th following UFC Vegas 84, headlined by Magomed Ankalaev versus Johnny Walker at the world's most famous Apex. And if 2023 was any indication of what 2024 could look like, I feel like 2024 is going to be an absolute shit show, and I am here for it. So thank you all very much. For AK, I am Mike Heck. even with this week, I think it's always important to note the golden rule of the show and just of MMAfighting.com in general. Don't take this stuff too seriously. MMA is supposed to be fun. So thank you all very much. Have a wonderful holiday season, and match week and crowns get put to the side until January of 2024. Have a great rest of your weekend, everybody. Thanks for watching. Good night, everybody.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.